A whole lot of people searching for a solution to the climate crisis, not the least of which would include Marion Jeffries, a nursing grad from UNB who then went and took her Master of Divinity from the Atlantic School of Theology and was ordained as an Anglican priest. She's an active member of the Council of Canadians and for the Love of Creation. That's a national ecumenical group. Presentations locally, regionally, nationally, and even internationally on topics like food security, gender, and environmental issues. And she currently serves as the coordinator of DEN. And I'm thinking, Marion, first, welcome to the program, but what is DEN?
DEN is the Diocesan Environment Network. We call it DEN for short. It's a network that is operated by the Diocese of Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. I coordinate it and have since its inception in 2012. We don't limit ourselves, though, to geography or to denominations. So anybody and everybody is welcome to be connected to DEN. And we have people connected to it from around the world. We're kind of an anomaly in a way because we don't have any membership. We just have people interested. We want to be able to act fast on environmental issues and be as effective as possible.
Well, the first thing that strikes me, though, you mentioned that it's from the Anglican Diocese of Nova Scotia and PEI, and you're a resident of New Brunswick. You don't even fit in that group.
Well, I call myself a dual citizen.
Ah, there you go.
And so, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And at any given moment, I could be living in either province or both. So although my permanent residence is in New Brunswick on the Wollastook or St. John River, I spend a fair amount of my time, the last dozen or more years, in Nova Scotia. That's where I'm licensed as a priest. And where my parishes or my work, my ministry is, whatever that may be, including the Environment Network. So today I'm in New Brunswick. In a week I'll be in Nova Scotia. And so I'm back and forth a lot. I get to travel a little bit crossing that border. Now, that being said, because my hybrid plug-in isn't in my driveway yet, I do try to make sure that I'm really effective about the amount of time or the reasons that I go and make sure that I have enough things on the go to validate my transportation back and forth.
Well, you, of course, attended the Thinker's Lodge in Pugwash in 2019 and again this past fall in October. And I, too, was there for those. I got to know quickly that you don't let the moss grow on you at all. You're busy not just running from place to place, but you're active on so many fronts. A lot of people might think, as a minister of a church, that you're kind of busy on Sunday. You know, a lot of people joke about that. You only work an hour a week. But
my husband jokes about that.
Yeah, well, you and I know differently, certainly. And when you came to Thinker's Lodge the first time, that was for a specialty conference. It was to focus on faith, as they called it. And what I thought was interesting, a combination of things that you bring with you, that commitment by DEN. And I really love the way you put it, that the network is there to safeguard the integrity of creation. Everybody else would sit there and say this: the integrity of the globe or the world or the earth, but you of creation. Not a lot of people think like that anymore.
Well, in the Anglican Church, and this isn't a phrase that I came up with, that's for sure. In the Anglican Church globally, 80 million of us have committed to what we call the marks of mission. And that is the fifth mark of mission. And it's not an order of importance. They're all important. Some of them are about caring for each other and some of them are caring for the earth. And so, but that it also serves a dual purpose, that line, or maybe three way, because we also, every time we have a baptism in the Anglican Church, then that is one of the vows that everyone, not just the person being baptized, but everyone in the room commits to, is caring for the planet, caring for creation, whether you want to call it the planet or creation. The bottom line is we all share this same goal. And that was one of the nice things about being at Thinkers Lodge a few years ago, when people of various faith traditions and various religions came together, because we do have that common cause and we're all committed one way or the other by our beliefs as people of faith to caring for this planet. And so then the next thing to do is to put it into action.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was there too, as you know, and yeah. It was billed as a multi-faith event of taking and looking at the world crisis of climate change from a faith perspective. And when you got there, you realized that the so-called mainline churches of the Christian churches of today were not terribly well represented. We had people of different philosophies there. But in particular, it was led by, and I'm really, really glad it was, because it took on a different life, frankly, for me, and taught me a great deal. It was led by leaders from the First Nations, the Mi'kmaq and First Nations of New Brunswick. And I wondered what your take was when you found, you were the token Anglican, I was the token Baptist, there was a token Catholic, and, we had all kinds, but there were a whole bunch of other folks there that you wouldn't normally say they're part of a religious effort.
No, but that's really okay. In the Anglican tradition, we're really open to that. There's very little we have to say that we absolutely believe, but we also work hard these days. We're no longer in the period of the Crusades. We work hard these days to, A, live out the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So attending an event like that was led spiritually by First Nations people was incredibly not only important, but also because it's about building relationship, and we do have this common cause, caring for the planet, but also because we are committed to moving forward on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission recommendations. So that was pretty easy. And we do make a strong effort in the Anglican Communion worldwide to respect and care about our brothers and sisters in the world, respecting their beliefs, their faiths, and their understanding and their relationship with the Creator, whatever that relationship is.
Yeah, and so, there were a number of Indigenous leaders there, really took charge of the event. In fact, it was chaired, the bulk of it was chaired by Kathy Martin, and I have to say quickly, no relation to me whatsoever. And, she's a dynamic lady of some power and importance. But you said, and I agree, that Chief Ron Tremblay of New Brunswick and the very famous Elder Albert Marshall of Nova Scotia, they kind of stole the show.
Oh, they were incredible. Just incredible. Kathy had to leave for another engagement, and they just slid right into their positions as leaders in a wonderful, warm, caring, patient, tolerant, and informative way. I've known Ron Tremblay, Chief Ron Tremblay. He's a traditional chief of the Wolastoqi people in Fredericton. I've known him for since he became chief. And I have to say, I just was gobsmacked by how he has grown into his position, his wisdom, his understanding, and his desire to build relationship. And Albert Marshall he's so passionate about teaching. So it was an absolutely wonderful experience. And since then, we have had Albert Marshall do some Zoom meetings with Dan to help people who attend understand in a better, richer, deeper way First Nation spirituality.
What's interesting to me, of course, is the fact that if you listen to them, and had we as the folks who came from Europe to take over Canada, so to speak, if we had followed them and listened to them all along, we perhaps wouldn't have had a climate crisis in the first place. Is that fair or unfair for me to say that?
Well, I think that, you know, you're right in so many ways because, you know, the teaching, so much of it is rooted in the concept of balance. And so that's where we need to balance, you know, our needs compared to the needs of the earth. We need to balance our needs compared to the needs of others. And as is said, and as St. Francis of Assisi, my favorite patron saint, said, all creatures are our brothers and sisters. And so St. Francis, you know, preached about that and taught about that back 1,000 years ago. For thousands of years, First Nations people have been have believed it, have practiced it, and have shared that information. And now it's great when they get to have the stage and are able to teach people such incredible wisdom and practices at any point in time in any situation.
Now let's look, let's look at the last fall. It was the reunion, if you will. Imagine there was 160 plus thinkers over the 7-year period, and they were all invited back. Imagine if they all said, yes, thank you, I'll be there. But they couldn't, of course. But you were there, and so was I. And I asked you, what was your takeaway from the reunion? And your answer was, COVID. What are you talking about?
A significant percentage of the people who attended ended up with COVID. I guess, you know, it happens. And so, unfortunately, I wasn't able to complete the whole 3 days. I had to leave because I didn't want to infect anybody. I didn't want to pass it on. And actually, I was fairly sick for the next 14 days.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were, but I didn't know that a number were either. Because once they left, they scattered to the four corners of North America. And I didn't get COVID. So I was totally unaware. I'm really sorry to hear that.
But I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Nobody wants it. You know, I'd managed to dodge it for 3.5 years, but I got it there. And you know, it's a fact. It's one of the things that we have to try to learn to live with. You know, we protect ourselves and others as much as possible. And sometimes it just happens. But the other big takeaway was the experience. I mean, it was so much, there were so many things. I mean, there were people like you. It was wonderful to see you again. There were people that I didn't know, and it was wonderful to meet them and connect with them. And then I got to have this incredible, gain incredible insight into, the town of Pugwash and how important it is, not only in history, but what a wonderful community it is. And I think that maybe the impact, I don't know whether Thinker's Lodge impacted the people of Pugwash or vice versa, but wow, I learned this whole new level of respect for Pugwash itself. And that came with the request that I be part of a team of a few people who would go to the high school. And that was the day that they declared the school a nuclear-free zone. And so I was part of a panel of three that addressed the high school students. And we were just kind of left to our own devices to talk to them, and we did. And we had an incredible conversation with those students. We also, and I didn't know that Pugwash, that high school was going to do this. Pugwash and district, I guess it should be formally saying. I didn't know they were about to do this, but I thought, wow, if every school did something like this, then the world would be such a better place.
Well, of course, the Pugwash conferences back in the 1950s were trying to lead the world in terms of recognizing the extreme existential threat to mankind of nuclear warheads, nuclear war. And we've been trying to do it ever since. The Pugwash movement continues to this day. And we thought at the time last year that the Pugwash District High School might be the start of a new kind of movement with Pugwash at its source on the question of environmental environmental change. And, you know, I was moved by that whole thing, too. I should point out that the very first conference that was held, they also went to the high school and met with with the high school students and had a complete session with those students. And the feedback and the dialogue on that day was truly incredible, the insights and the concerns. And from that, all these subsequent thinkers conferences, I kept saying, you know, we created, I say we, you, me, and the ones of our age group, we created the problem, and then we dump it in their laps.
And that's not fair. And that's not fair. You know, when anybody suggests that, my response is, we all are in this together. You know, and it's not just a matter of being driven by guilt, but I really have a strong desire, and I'm sure most of us do, to make sure that generations in the future are safe and healthy and have a chance to lead a rich and full life. And that doesn't just cover people locally, that's globally as well. And so the threat of nuclear arms and other such things can be, I mean, that's why it was, as you said, that's why it was established, Thinkers Lodge. But now it's, I'm hoping that these students, with our support, our encouragement, and our activity, can carry this on.
What was interesting, and I was attending four of the conferences, by the way, and the common theme through all of that, of course, throughout, was the fact that this is not a hoax or a passing thing in the night. This is a very real threat to mankind. And the bottom line was that everybody seemed to say, if we wait for the governments of the world to do something about it, we'll miss the boat completely. That you, me, each and every one of us has to do something. So we're past our time, but that's okay. I want one last question for a tough one. In your involvement here, and when you got home, did you ever get a sense that we accomplished anything?
It was a little harder for me the second time because I left sick. But reflect, you've given me an opportunity to reflect on this past week. And I have to say that I have so much respect for the people who were present. Every one of them comes with a different gift. Every one of them comes with the same passion to care for the planet and ensure the future. But they all bring different passions in a minor way, like, you know, whether it be food security, whether it be fossil fuels, whether it be, you know, forestry, whether it be just practicing our spirituality in ways that cause us to tread lighter on the planet. But the people who are and then the question becomes, how do we turn this into an energy based on all of the talents, skills, and passions that people bring to the table? But they were wonderful, and they were impressive, and I respect everyone who was there deeply.
Marion, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate not only just being here to share these thoughts, but also to have shared your thoughts and perspectives, not once but twice at the conferences in Pugwash. And I thank you for your commitment to the world, and I'll put it another way that I think you might appreciate better, your commitment to His creation.
Well, thank you very much, and God bless.